Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. Happy Labor Day weekend if you're able to get Monday off. I do not. That's just part of the business. Nothing wrong with that. And hope you got to see some good films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we'll get to the grab a pencil portion of the show in a little bit. But I do want to raise a glass to actor Ed Asner, who, of course, passed away earlier this week at the age of 91. And no, I am not going to be rattling off his IMDb page because he has over 400 credits to his name. Obviously, a slew of television and some notable film credits. This is some of the films he did before the Mary Tyler Moore Show. The Satan Bug, El Dorado, Change of Habit. He played a police lieutenant in Elvis Presley's last film, which also starred Mary Tyler Moore. If you've never seen Change of Habit, get some pizza and some cocktails and enjoy this ridiculous film, Universal's attempt to show the counterculture in 1969. Elvis plays a swinging ghetto doctor. Yes. And Mary Tyler Moore plays a nun who goes undercover working as a nurse in Elvis's office. Yeah. So it's something. Halls of Anger, They Call Me Mr. Tibbs, Skin Game. And then he would later appear in when taking a break from the Mary Tyler Moore films, like The Wrestler. This is the one with Vern Gagne, not the one with Mickey Rourke. The Walt Disney film Gus. But if you think about it, the things in his later career, he has a very scary and brief turn in Oliver Stone's JFK, Elf, of course, and of course Up. And the first 10 minutes of Up still hurts really hard. So he also appeared in films like Fort Apache, The Bronx, which I got to see in the theaters, as well as Sidney Lumet's film of Daniel. So salute to Ed Asner. And I found out Michael Moore wrote a column that he sent letters to Hollywood bigwigs or Hollywood folks looking for some financial support for his first documentary, Roger and Me. And of the 40-some-odd letters he sent out, Ed Asner was the only one who replied and sent money. So take that for what that's worth. But salute to you, Ed. Thanks for your work, man. I always remember there was a it was on HBO. It was the I think it was the 20th anniversary, maybe, of Second City. And that there was a scene that he did that Asner is the football coach, and all of his athletes, all of his players, were not athletes. They were math majors, music majors. George Wendt was one of the football players in that sketch, and fun stuff if you can find it on YouTube. New this week, the one film that is opening this weekend in theaters and on streaming is a film called Yakuza Princess, and I wanted this to be a little bit more. So we have three stories going on. We start with a flashback in Osaka of a business family, at a birthday party in which they are gunned down by a rival Yakuza gang. And the daughter is the only one who survives. Then we go to modern-day Brazil. This is a Brazilian-Japanese co-production, if I remember right. We see Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, who escapes a hospital after with some major sword scars on his face, but he has amnesia. And we have the young girl now turning 21. She has a sensei that she does training with. And we also have a member of the old family army who finds out that the girl is alive. So we have three stories going on. And you're waiting for these three stories to coincide. It comes about 40 minutes into the film. The film's about an hour and 50. This thing could have been 80 minutes easily. So I wish they had sped it up a little bit. There's a lot of hiding sequences in an old house with some aging members of the Yakuza. So it's kind of Yakuza 101 in this. So we get those three parties eventually. Then we get a couple of climaxes, one in a graveyard, one on a rooftop. And I think as film fans, as action film fans, we've been spoiled by John Wick. Because as I'm watching the fight scenes, man, there's a lot of cutting. I mean, Baz Luhrmann would say that there's a lot of cutting going on in this. And I think now I was kind of like the Grindhouse rule, where a lot of films are just better if they're 70 or 80 minutes. If you give me more than, if you can just let a shot linger a bit longer while you're fighting, I would be a little more impressed. So, yeah, it turned out to be a disappointment, but if you're into action films, and when it moves, it moves. It's just really heavily edited, and that's kind of a bummer. So, yeah, Yakuza Princess is now out in theaters and streaming if you're into that. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Before we grab a pencil, let's see what's going on around the state. Over at the Tibbs Drive-In on Screen 1, you have Candyman, of course, the remake. And The Night House. On Screen 2, Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, along with The Protégé. Screen 3, it says Country Kickoff Concert. Okay. And Screen 4, Free Guy and Jungle Cruise. That is happening over at the Tibbs Drive-In. Over at the Skyline Drive-In this weekend is Shang-Chi and Free Guy. Sunday, September 5th, at 11 a.m. at the Skyline Drive-In, is something called Shelby County Cornstalk. Yeah, and then Friday, September 24th, mark your calendars, the Pandemonium Picture Show, two dusk till dawn nights of entertainment debauchery. This is happening at the Skyline Drive-In at Shelbyville. Over at IU Cinema on Thursday, September 9th, a special virtual event of Tana. On Sunday, September 12th, Capturing Lee Miller as well as The Blood of a Poet. That's at 1 o'clock on Sunday, September 12th. Tuesday, September 14th at 7 p.m., a special virtual event of Gather. And Thursday, September 16th at 8 p.m., WALL-E. And Thursday, September 23rd at 8 p.m., Princess Mononoke. All of that is happening over at IU Cinema at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin. On Wednesday, September 8th at 7:30 p.m., oh, on a big screen, that would be cool, Rock and Roll High School. Hello, PJ Souls. Thursday, September 9th at 1:30 p.m., From Here to Eternity. And then that'll also be running Friday and Saturday, September 10th and 11th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., From Here to Eternity. Got to get Mrs. Sosie on the beach. Wednesday, September 15th at 7:30 p.m. is a part of the Midweek Music Movie Series. We heard Rock and Roll High School this coming Wednesday. The following Wednesday, on September 15th, Pink Floyd's The Wall. And Friday and Saturday, September 17th and 18th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., Sullivan's Travels. So all of that is happening at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin. Meanwhile, over at the Can-Can Indie, running through September 9th is La Pisquine, as well as Pig and Roadrunner. And then September 5th is Electric Jesus. Coming soon over at the Can-Can, David Byrne's American Utopia, as well as Across the Universe. All of that at the Can-Can Indie. All right, friends, grab a pencil. Let's see what you've been watching. We start on Twitter with Jay Reed, who says the double feature of Mice and Men, the 1939 version, and Fast and Furious. Wow. Jay Reed, hope you're doing okay, man. Mass Ave Curmudgeon writes, MGM does American International, really odd and dated, but surprisingly edgy with the sex. Good lineup of music. All that's missing is Buster Keaton. It's a film called Get Yourself a College Girl, and I've seen this. I saw this on TCM a long, long time ago, pushed as the swinginest blast ever filmed. This is a movie where you have sort of a plot and sort of characters, but they keep getting interrupted by music performances. Marianne Mobley is in this, for you fans of Elvis movies. Chad Everett, Joan O'Brien, Nancy Sinatra, Chris Noll. But you're really, and Marianne Mobley's fun to look at, and Nancy. But the music by the Dave Clark Five, The Animals, Stan Getz, Jimmy Smith, The Standells, and Freddie Bell, Roberta Lynn, and the Bell Boys. And Astrid Gilberto with Stan Getz. But it's one of those, like, okay, we have these rock bands, and then we have these two jazz groups. I don't know if the crossover is that big. Although, I to be fair, I own music by The Animals and Stan Getz and Jimmy Smith. So I would want more of Stan Getz and Jimmy Smith, less of the Standells and Freddie Bell. But that's just me. So I'm like, okay, which publicist, which record label are all of these artists on that they appear in this film? So, yeah, it's an oddity. And there's a number of these in the 60s where there's sort of a plot, but it's more, you know, at least 40% of the film is music performances. So thank you, Massive Curmudgeon. I'm glad you got to experience that. Once again, you're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Okay, we go to Facebook. And Hannah writes, all the shorts available on American Airlines Entertainment. Thank you, Hannah. Didi Sorvino. Okay, Drinks with Didi. So check out her podcast, whether I'm on it or not. It's a fun chat. Didi writes, The Godfather 1, 2, and 3, and the three Matrix films. Wow. That's a lot, Didi. Teresa writes, San Andreas, Shawshank Redemption, and Mamma Mia. David writes, Reminiscence, the Bee Gees documentary, Free Guy, Fire Fraud documentary. Yeah, well, which one? There's two of them, David, but they're both pretty good. Andrew writes, Gunpowder Milkshake. Gretchen writes, last night was Woody Allen's Rainy Day in New York. Yeah, I watched that one too. David writes, fodder for your next episode. Kiss the Ground is the best documentary I've seen on Netflix lately. I'm not a farmer, but I'm doing my part to reverse climate change. I also watched The Man Who Fell to Earth again after I read the book. The film has a poor through line and not strange enough to be psychedelic. Thanks, David. Yeah, I've not read the book, but I kind of like Nicholas Roeg's film for what it is, as a 70s alien story. And, you know, casting David Bowie, I thought was a great touch. So, all right. But thank you, David. We go back to Facebook. Joshua writes, Untold, Caitlyn Jenner, Bob Ross, Happy Accidents, Betrayal and Greed, and Reminiscence. John writes, Once Upon a Time in London, Kiss of Death, City of Lies, Down Three Dark Streets, Frozen, The Missouri Breaks, Twilight Zone, the movie, and The Insider. My dad took me to see The Missouri Breaks at the Strand Theater in Roscommon, Michigan. So that was my first Marlon Brando film on a big screen. Whew. Jamie writes City Slickers 2 and Miss Congeniality. Wayne writes Chips, not great. Steven writes, oh dear, Dance Girl Dance with Lucille Ball and Millennium Actress. Thank you, Steven. Jenny writes Pitch Perfect. Devin writes Respect, Wall-E, and Cruella. Tony writes White Heat and Contempt. Joan writes, Steven had never seen Tootsie. He was schooled. Oh, way to go, dear. I'm glad you got to do that. Joe writes Beckett 2021, season 6 of The West Wing, and Friday Night Lights seasons 3 and 4. Melissa writes The Healer and Alone in the Dark, aka the worst movie ever made. All right. Melissa, you're not entirely wrong there. Let's see, David chimes in. I have issues with people using the word ever in some of their declarations, but this is a legit argument. David chimes in. You obviously have never watched House of the Dead based on the video game. Melissa writes, it was so funny. I stuck with Alone in the Dark until the bitter end. And when I found out it was based on an Atari video game, I couldn't help but crack up. I really want to see a movie version of Pitfall. Okay. And David chimes in, I paid full theater evening ticket price to see House of the Dead at Downtown Disney. I also found it so ridiculous, I just had to laugh. Otherwise, I'd start ripping seats out around me. Well, I'm glad you didn't do that, David. And Melissa, way to hang in there. Yeah, that's a hard one. Chris writes, Chris Lloyd writes, who you think I am? We Need to Do Something, The Gang, and Worth. Lou Harry writes, Kurt Vonnegut, Unstuck in Time, Storm Lake, On Broadway, and Vacation Friends. Austin Glidden, Medium Cool Podcast, check it out. He saw Val and The Green Knight. More from David. Cruella, way better than it should have been, a pleasant surprise, followed by the 1961 101 Dalmatians, the Bee Gees documentary, and Predator. Daniel chiming in, I watched Cruella because I like the two Emmas and didn't necessarily expect much of the movie, but I thought the movie was quite enjoyable. There you go, guys. There you go. Dustin writes, The Mask of Zorro from 1940, The Rainmaker from 1956, Easy A, The Suicide Squad, and Respect. Taylor writes, The Suicide Squad, Casablanca, The Maltese Falcon, and Red. And Andy writes, we've all watched enough Bond trailers equal one movie, but why aren't they promoting Billie Eilish? I don't know. Eric writes, first views, Journey to Italy, The Solid Gold Cadillac, and The Tall T. The rewatch, Running on Empty, and The Last Seduction. That's another underrated Sidney Lumet film. That's the one with Judd Hirsch and River Phoenix. I mentioned earlier Daniel with Ed Asner and Tim Hutton. That's another underrated Sidney Lumet film. And, yeah, Terry chimes in, Linda Fiorentino in The Last Seduction. Nuff said. Yep. As fatal as they come, he writes. Dana writes, Rear Window. Thank you, Monica. I am once again asking for your film choices this week. Thank you, dear. Tony writes, Candyman. Eric writes, Cobra Kai, with the logo of the show. Andrew writes, Wind River. Marianne writes, rewatching Mary Jane the Musical with Ed Asner as the corporate raider taking over Humboldt County marijuana industry. He sings. So there's another Ed Asner title for you. 400 credits, friends. Gretchen writes, The Lady in the Van and Nomadland. Didn't care too much for either one despite the cast. Well, that's okay. That's fine, Gretchen. Nomadland was my top film of last year. And Mrs. Sosie and I got to see The Lady in the Van in London with Maggie Smith. So, okay. John writes, Dan in Real Life. Ronnie writes, Apollo 13 and Candyman. Don writes, Respect. A different Don, Don Hipschweiler, writes, Mud. Andrea writes, The Suicide Squad. Ugh. It was awful. Although she loves Margot Robbie, and who doesn't? Patty writes, The Bells of St. Trinians, Hue and Cry, and The Petrified Forest. Pat writes, Shang-Chi. David writes, 7 Days in May, which he said holds up really well, and Moneyball, really well in a scary way. Jessica writes, Jungle Cruise, Free Guy, and the original Candyman. Ed writes, The Bob Ross Documentary. Kurt likes to show movies at a senior center somewhere in the state, which I'm not going to tell you. But our film last Saturday was Summersby, the American take on the return of Martin Guerre, or as I like to call it, the return of Richard Guerre. I like to find that one to show, but it seems harder to find on disc. Well, keep at it, Kurt. I didn't read ahead. Bill Benner asked, does game film count? Sure. Howell writes, Strange Brew, in commemoration of the 38th anniversary of the release of this cinematic masterpiece. Thank you, Howell. Beauty, eh? Daniel writes, Three Coins in the Fountain and Cruella. Robert Muggy writes, Five films starring Jean Harlow, Red Dust, Bombshell, Libeled Lady, Redheaded Woman, and Hold Your Man. Great choices there. Thomas writes, Palms. And his wife Stephanie chimes in, which was not very good. Kara writes, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Jessica writes, Free Guy. Dan Epstein writes, Gorgo. Oh, man. Simone writes, Cruella. Teresa writes, Ocean's 8. Jeff writes, Rewatched American Graffiti. I love that movie. It is also known as my favorite George Lucas film. Britt writes, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, The Piano, Come Away, The Animated Addams Family, Jack Reacher, Cruella, the two Maleficent films, Reminiscence, Hellboy 2, Conspiracy Theory, Throw Mama from the Train, Val, Tombstone, and Marshall. Thank you, love. Mark writes, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It ages better than most teen flicks, I give it that. And it's on Criterion. Sean writes, Free Guy. Evan writes, Blood Red Sky. Barry writes, I just caught they died with their boots on. an idealized, fictionalized account of Custer on TMC as a cultural snapshot of 1941 pre-World War II attitudes toward the Civil War and postbellum American West. Yikes. Yeah. Good catch there, Barry. Terry writes, Trouble in Mine, Brick, John and Yoko, Above Us Only Sky, The Bedroom Window, Body Double, His Kind of Woman, The Adventurer, A Cult is My Passport, Chinatown, and Thief. I love Thief, and Chinatown for that matter. Steven writes, Steven Stolen of Stolen Moments fame, Fault in Our Stars. Dave writes, Dave writes Blowout from 1981, pretty weak. Dave, I'm one of the few people that I think Blowout is a better film than Blow Up. I think that's my favorite Brian De Palma film. So I'm sorry you thought that was weak. I also got to be in, I saw it in Trenton, New Jersey when I was a kid, actually Long Beach Island when I was a kid, but the film opened and my dad's side of the family is from Trenton, so they shot it in Philadelphia and huge news coverage over the film, I remember as a kid, but you know, that's neither here nor there. So, all right, Dave. Nancy writes, Reminiscence, could have skipped that one. John writes, Ready Player One, Black Widow, and Shop Around the Corner. Mario writes, Goodfellas. Do you hear that? Gary writes, Og, Melody Makers, and Glastonbury Fair. Jeff writes, Nobody. Mary writes, Vertigo. Mark writes, The Farewell. Loved it. Joni writes, The Ladies' Man, starring Jerry Lewis, is finally streaming on Amazon. I texted the only two people I know would be as late as I am watching it now. Well, congratulations, Joni. I don't own that physical copy of that, so there you go. Amanda writes, Beginners. Doug writes, Snow White and the Three Stooges. Oh, my gosh. Annette, The Duchess of Idaho, The Chair, Thrill of a Romance, and Cairo. And finally, Amanda chimes in with Coda. So there you go, friends. That's what you've been watching this week. Hope you got to jot down some titles and worth. The other film I watched over the week was Revolutionary Road. It's still the superior Kate Winslet Leonardo DiCaprio film, but still a gut punch. So maybe I'm trying not to watch gut punch films on my one day off on Sundays, but that's what it turned out to be. Anyway, hope you got some ideas, some inspiration, and there's a couple titles in there I need to get to one of these days. All right, friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Have a great Labor Day weekend, and we'll do this again next week. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What kind of parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!